Hi, welcome to the Yankees Magazine podcast. I'm Hillary Georgie, and joining me is Nathan Makaborski.
Hello there.
And John Schwartz.
Hello.
Who is on his phone. Come on, John.
Sorry. I'll respect.
Let's get to the podcast.
I got to respect the podcast.
So playoffs are starting, and with the playoffs, we also have the new issue of Yankees Magazine, the October issue, featuring Gary Sanchez on the cover.
El Gary. His second cover of the year, but deservedly so. I mean, what a season from our catcher.
Under the radar, good season. I think he doesn't get a lot of the headlines.
Well, how could he?
That's true. It's a fair point.
There's kind of a big, tall tree kind of blocking some of the sunlight.
It's a few lockers down is a guy some other people might know who hit 50 home runs already, so whatever.
Yeah. So, Hillary, you had the honor of doing the October cover story on El Gary. So tell us a little bit about it. What was your sort of approach with this one?
It was similar to what we just said, really. I was curious about Gary and the expectations coming into the season because, as we all know, last year he was the Aaron Judge. He was here for a couple months, and he was setting all kinds of records, and he was this rookie phenom, and everybody was talking about him. And then this year, he kind of just went away. Like, people were talking about him, but not nearly to the point that I had expected, or really I don't think anybody had expected. So I wanted to see how he did it and like how he was flying under the radar and still putting up great, great numbers. Like, he has had a statistically very impressive season. He was an all-star that nobody was really talking about, and
the funny thing is, not just an all-star, mind you, every part of All-Star Week, even the Home Run Derby, in which he was great in, he was an afterthought there, too.
Right. Nobody was, like, expecting anything out of Gary Sanchez, which is the polar opposite of October of last year, when they were expecting the world of Gary Sanchez. So I wanted to get his take on all of that, plus, like, just talk to him about the game in general and the adjustments he's making in his first full year as a major league catcher, which have been numerous.
So those adjustments have kind of not been as under the radar as some players might and some teams might like. Obviously, if you wrote the story a month and a half ago, I think it would have been very different based on the defensive struggles that he was having.
For sure.
At that time. You know, a lot developed, I would say, toward the end of the season, but still there's a lot of work he has to do in the offseason. But what was your impression of how he views that progress and how he views the responsibility that he has behind the plate?
Gary knows that he has to be a catcher. And as a catcher, he has to be kind of the defensive leader on the team. And he has to, number one, catch the ball. And number two, be a guy who can throw guys out on the base pass and who can manage a pitching staff and who can also, by the way, be a threat on offense. He's in the middle of the lineup. He's batting 2, 3, 4, 5. Wherever he is, he's expected to produce. So he knows that he has to do all those things. And I think he is so hyper-focused on every single one of them. It's not one gets more attention than the other. He does everything every day, and it is staggering the amount of work that he puts in. I was blown away by it, and I had a great conversation with Tony Pena, the first base coach and catching instructor for the Yankees. And he talked to me for a really long time about what it means to be a catcher and how hard it is to be a catcher and how impressed he is with Gary as a catcher and as a player.
On Sanchez, I tell you what, I have been very, very proud of this kid. And everybody wants to see everything at once. Sometimes it takes time to see that. But what I have seen, you know, is good enough for me. Gary Sanchez is going to be one of the best catchers in baseball for a long time. With time, you will see that.
Where do you think that line is, though? You know, because you bring up a lot of great points in the story about how difficult this staff is to catch. And obviously, you know, we forget sometimes because of how much he's accomplished already, but he's a super young player with very little experience in the league. But what is that line where it stops being, you know, oh, this is a really hard position and he's progressing, and, you know, Girardi kind of having to sit him down, and as he did, and say, you know, we need our catcher who can catch the ball.
I think the line is you just need to see improvement. And I think as the season's gone on, there's been ups and there's been downs. And I think you need to see that he's working. And people don't see that he's working unless you're here with him every single day, the way that Tony Pena is here with him every single day doing drills and going over scouting reports. And I think the line really is how your pitchers feel about you. And if your pitchers can trust you and that they know that they can bounce a ball in there and they trust that you're going to block it 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10 times, then that's fine. And if the manager sees that, and if the pitchers see that, and if the catcher himself, if Gary himself is confident that he can do that, then I think that's where the line is. And I think he's at that line. Every single pitcher that I talk to, and I talk to a lot for this story, are confident in him beyond anything. They have no issues. They don't have any trust issues with him. Chad Green said that he's willing to throw a slider in the dirt with a guy on third and the game on the line, and he believes that Gary will catch that ball.
Yeah, I really liked the stuff from Pena. You know, obviously with the resume that he has as a catcher, I mean, there's no greater authority. And I've always found Tony to be really, you know, honest in his appraisal of players. And I think if, you know, if he weren't happy with Gary's progress, he would have said, you know, oh, here's the things that we're working on.
Right,
here's what he still needs.
He could be doing this better.
But his tone in this story was, you know, I could not be more proud of the work that he's put in so far, and reminding us that he's still a kid.
He kept saying it. He's like, this guy is 25 years old. This guy is so young, or 24. I don't know.
Yeah. Like 24 years old, right?
He is a baby. And Tony was like, and this is his first year. It's his first year. People keep thinking he's been in this league forever. This is his first year. Tony kept saying it. It was funny, but he's like, it's incredible what he's doing. He's going to be incredible for a very long time. And I was like, wow.
Well, that name Gary Sanchez has been on the minds of Yankees fans for a long time.
Very
so they'd
true.
Be forgiven for, you know, not realizing perhaps or not remembering how young he is and that he still has so much to learn. But you really shed a light on the amount of work that goes into being a catcher, all the different facets of it. That being said, I mean, for you as a writer, when you're tasked with writing a cover story about somebody who has all these responsibilities already on his plate, was this one a challenge in any way to get written? Was it hard to nail down some time with Gary for this story?
I'm not going to lie to you, Nathan. It was quite hard.
Did you nail down some time with Gary for the story?
I did eventually talk to Gary Sanchez. It did happen. Gary and I had a conversation. It took maybe a dozen tries. But you know what? Gary's busy, guys. Yeah. He is a busy, busy fella.
He's got his priorities in order, it sounds like.
He knows that he's got a job to do, and his job is, frankly, not to talk to me. So I take that in stride. That's part of the game of being a reporter. You have to get guys when you can get guys, and Gary is a guy who, like we said, is busy every single day doing work that nobody sees, that you can't even really tell in the game. The progress that he makes is so small sometimes, you just don't realize that he's making the progress. And you know what? Eventually, he did talk to me, and that's great.
If Gary Sanchez were Gary Sanders, and he had the same season that he had this year, how different do you think the response might have been?
That's a fair question.
That you may not want to answer.
It's a really fair question, and I think we all know that for Latino players, it's much harder for a lot of reasons, because the culture is different, the language is different, the game itself is different. In the Caribbean, in the Dominican, wherever they're playing, it's a game where the emotion comes out a little bit more. And Gary, if you notice, if you're around him, he's a guy that kind of doesn't show as much emotion. I think the game in America has humbled him a little bit. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Tony Pena, again, was talking to me, and he said, we're trying to get Gary to smile more. Gary needs to smile more. He needs to look like he's having some fun. So they're trying to get Gary to kind of to be the kid that he is. He's still so young, and he's so good, and he can be better. And I think that he's had struggles, and I think they're magnified a little bit because he's Gary Sanchez, and people expect things out of him. He was signed to a big deal at a young age, and he had struggles maturity and play wise and people magnify that more, I think, because of where he came from and all that he's been through already. And I don't know what it would have been for Gary Sanders, but Gary Sanchez has handled it all in stride, and his maturity has impressed everybody in the clubhouse, and it impressed me when I talked to him. So that's all I can say about that.
There was a point in his season this year, around probably late July, where he really seemed to kind of hit a low point. He was struggling at the plate, behind the plate, and really turned it on from that point on. You know, moving forward, he's really shown improvement on both sides. And was there a reason for that turnaround, do you think? Was there one thing that happened, or was this just a culmination of the work that he had been putting in behind the scenes?
There's no one reason for anything that he spoke to. I think he was just really wise beyond his years, and I think it's a product of working with guys in the clubhouse who've been through it before, that at the plate, behind the plate, you're gonna have struggles, and that's part of being a Major League Baseball player. And it's whether or not you can get through those struggles without like getting down on yourself or letting it affect other areas of your game. Like, he had hit a low point in all facets of his game, and I think he kept his head on straight. He talked through everything with Tony every single day. He kept working every single day. He talked to guys like CeCe and Matt Holliday and guys who are veterans who have been through slumps and ups and downs and personal and professional. And he learned that this is a long game, and if you want to have a long career, then you're going to go through slumps, and eventually you'll find the other side. And he's obviously found the other side. So,
can you imagine being a pitcher on the Orioles or the Red Sox or the Rays, Blue Jays, just looking up and down this lineup right now, mm-hmm. and saying like, okay, so great, so we have this next year and the year after and the year after before we can even think about not having to deal with Aaron Judge 2, Gary Sanchez 3, and I mean, to say nothing of the guys who follow them,
Didi, yeah. Starlin, there's a lot of guys in this lineup who can hurt you, and Gary is going to be a cornerstone of that lineup for a long time to come.
Speaking of guys who can hurt you, Judge has had an amazing September, and I think that's rightly getting a lot of credit. Greg Bird.
Yeah.
Greg Bird.
We've seen the Greg Bird September show before, so, mm-hmm. you know, but man, that's kind of under the radar a little bit. It's happening at the right time of the year. The team's hot. The biggest games are coming, but man,
yeah,
that must feel good for him to go into whenever the offseason does start. This must feel better than he felt about a month and a half ago about the way things had been.
Yeah, the depth in this lineup is just, it's really incredible. I mean, I can't remember the last time. I mean, Joe Girardi is going to have some really tough decisions to make should we advance past the wild card game as to who gets left off the roster for the next round, because whoever that person is, it's going to be somebody pretty good.
What do you think? Should we dive into that in a little bit? Coming up on the Yankees Magazine podcast, we'll dive a little bit deeper into postseason preview and a couple other stories, so stick around. So guys, wild card game back in the playoffs. For the first time since 2015, we faced the Astros. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? How are you feeling?
We're hoping our postseason lasts a little longer this year.
It's a little bit tense in the room.
Yeah,
but less Dallas Keuchel, yeah. Which fortunately will not be happening in the wild card game.
No, yeah. But I mean, the way this this offense is just clicking right now has me feeling pretty good going into Tuesday. No reason not to think they won't keep it going, and we got our. Pretty much our ace this season lined up to go as well. So it's baseball and anything can happen, but you got to feel good about the way the Yankees are going into this.
If you're Joe Girardi and you have, you know, the ability to make a 25-man roster for one game, which he does, how do you view the pitching assignment? I mean, let's say, as it seems, that it's Severino. Do you view this as Severino goes out there until he's not effective? Do you view this as Severino gets two times through the lineup and that is it because we have enough pitchers to start giving new luck? What do you think?
If it's me, I let Sevy go for as long as Sevy can go. Sevy has proven that he can get people out better than most anybody. So if it's me making the calls, Sevy goes until he can anymore.
That's yeah, I mean, we've seen so many instances this year where he's just as effective in the seventh or eighth as he is in the first.
He can throw 99 with his first pitch. He can throw 99 with his last pitch. He can move the ball around wherever he wants. He has learned how to be an ace. And I want him on the mound.
So the bullpen has been, a strength of the team. Maybe not quite as strong as it was last season, but they seem to be rounding into form as well at this point in the season. But just the way Seve's pitched, it just seems like he's ready. And I heard somebody say that this will be his first ever postseason action at any level of baseball.
Is that right?
It'll be really interesting to see what he's able to do out there. I mean, I think if he sticks to his game plan and, you know, whatever he's been doing this season has been working. So I have full confidence in him, and I would let him go till he runs into trouble.
I think I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I think because you have an off day before and you have an off day after, hopefully only one off day after, and because, you know, you've basically been able to use the last week to set yourself up for this game, and baseball doesn't script itself, and it's silly to do this stuff, but I say I don't want him facing any batter for a third time, and I want to go into this game hoping that he gets through 5, 6, 7 to Chad Green, 8 to David Robinson, 9 to Chapman right now. And I know, you know, baseball, everything can change. Like, you know, maybe by the end of this weekend, Betances is, you know, firing rockets again. But if it's me, I just think that in these postseason games, like, this is why you build this bullpen, is for this, mm-hmm. is to make sure that you can keep on changing the looks these guys are getting, that no one can get comfortable at any point in the game. And look, not that it's comfortable facing Luis Severino in the 7th or 8th inning, but, you know, I want to be changing it up as much as I can if I'm Girardi. And, you know, we don't have to tell Girardi that. He's not afraid of making moves, obviously, as we know. But I feel like in this situation, if you get 5 innings out of your starter, you take it, and you don't let anyone see him for a third time.
Well, we'll see here. I mean, Tuesday night at Yankee Stadium, I'm just so glad to be able to say that we have postseason baseball
in
the Bronx
again.
Postseason
at Yankee Stadium.
There is still this tiny, tiny, tiny chance,
yes,
though, that
is.
We're talking about this for nothing.
That's true.
Because,
you're right.
You know, the Yankees have been hot, and the Red Sox not quite as much. I shall watch what I'm saying, I guess, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. It would be incredible. If...
3 games with 4 to play. It would be a pretty shocking development, but crazier things have happened, especially with the Yankees and Red Sox.
So true. No matter what, though, the Yankees are in the postseason, and that's something to be celebrated and excited about.
It's been a great year. It's been like a pleasant surprise to some people. I think Yankees fans they're always optimistic. They're always championship minded. So I don't know that this wasn't a team that was predicted to finish last place that is now going to the postseason.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of question marks heading into the year. We knew that we were going to be relying on a lot of younger guys who, you know, some of them had never played a full season in the majors, but we also knew from following our minor leagues that these guys are talented. And when given the opportunity to play every day up here in the majors, a lot of them have really, you know, taken the job and run with it. So, you know, there's just been so many great stories and storylines this season. I'm very excited to see what happens here in the coming days.
I got to say, though, because Nate, I think you're right that, you know, there's just a very interesting feel about this team because it has overachieved, even if, you know, it's not as it shouldn't have been as dire as, you know, some people might have been expecting. But it does have to be said, and I mean no disrespect to a lot of the guys I'm about to name here, but if you look at that 2015 lineup for that wild card game, we were starting Chris Young. You know, we were starting Rob Refsnyder. We were starting Greg Bird, who had a good September, but hadn't, you know, established himself at all in any way. You know, it was a different Chase Headley then in a lot of ways. It was a different A-Rod then. It was a different Didi then for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the names are the same in this game, but it just feels very different. This feels, you know, that 2015 team, I don't think anyone really knew what to make of it one way or another.
Yeah.
This 2017 team, I think you're watching this game and you have to be thinking about the 2017 wildcard game for sure, but also 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
You just can't separate, you know, this game and this team from the future that Brian Cashman, to his credit, has built for these guys.
Yeah. And Nathan, I wanted to get your opinion because out of the three of us, you were the only one here for the last World Series team.
Mm-hmm.
What are your impressions of this team as compared to previous teams that you've been a part of?
Well, I mean, look, there's no bad World Series team, but that one was...
You're older than the players on the team.
You know, that one was exciting because it was the first year in a new building. And I mean, to be able to... The Yankees won their first title in 1923 when they opened up their first home, the original Yankee Stadium. So the thought of moving into a new building for the first time in 85 years and kicking it off with your 27th World Championship was super exciting. This team, I feel like fans have just gravitated to even more so because of the amount of homegrown guys and because of guys like Didi, who I know he's not a homegrown guy, but, you know, seeing the way he's blossomed in this role. There's just so many guys that you can grab onto that have become fan favorites. I feel like there's a bond between the fans and this team.
Even some of the same people, by the way, and I apologize for cutting you off, but I mean, CeCe Sabathia, I feel like the role that CeCe Sabathia has in the Yankees fan base is so different in 2017 as it was in 2009. I mean, he was, you know, the gunslinger brought in 2009. 2017, he's like part of the family.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, the old uncle.
Yeah. Brett Gardner is another guy who, I mean, like, he's just been through so much on this team by this point that he holds a really special place in the hearts of so many Yankees fans. So, you know, it's going to be a fun ride. Hopefully it lasts, like we said, longer than it did in 2015. But to your point, John, you know, no matter what happens this year, fans are going to, we have a lot to look forward to in the years to come as well. So it'll be a little easier to take. We can console ourselves. It'll hurt if and when we lose this year and we go home for the winter, but we can console ourselves knowing that, you know, the future's bright, going to be the future's set up pretty good for a while here.
We generally don't break news here, but I mean, is there truth to the rumor that if they don't win this year, they're just going to start rebuilding the Yankee Stadium every single year? Seems like it's a tried and true method of success.
It's worked two out of two times. Yeah. So.
It's very economically feasible.
John Schwartz with your best practices.
Thanks, John. All right. Well, I'm excited. We'll all be here for the game. It's gonna be an exciting one.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Bronx comes out Yankee Stadium way rocking like it hasn't in a while, and it'll be fun. It'll be a fun atmosphere. So if you're here, pick up a copy of Yankees Magazine, the October issue. Gary Sanchez is on the cover.
Smiling.
A beautiful portrait of Gary Sanchez on the cover of our October/wildcard program.
Right.
/division series, should we advance.
Pick it up and follow us on Twitter. We're at Yanks Magazine. Check out all of our long-form content online. Yankees.com/magazine will have articles from this issue, and you can find articles from previous issues as well on there. So please check that out. And we'll see you soon. Go Yankees, right?
Yanks.
Bye.